while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So it doesn't matter how many times you preach a sermon, you're always nervous. And every time, actually, that I come up and someone prays for me, when they say amen, in my mind, I'm like, don't leave. But again, welcome. Hello, everybody. And welcome to Port Lauderdale Baptist Church. If you hadn't had the chance to do so already, just ask the person next to you, how are you feeling today? How are you today? Okay, that was really short. I think everyone said, yeah, I'm good, thank you. And that's it. Don't talk to me. Well, it's good to see us all gathered here together, that God brought us through the fire on Monday and Tuesday, that we're still here. It's good that we're here to gather. It's good that we're here to worship together, to hear the word of God, to grow together, and to continue, of course, our new sermon series, My Phone, My Faith. And as Sister Vadney already said, we've had two happen so far, and today will be the third. The first one, Pastor Deddy opened up with the topic of community. And then last week, Sumi opened up with convenience. And today, of course, is capitalism. So I think some of you might know that before I started my journey into ministry, I was a social worker beforehand. I'd always wanted to be a social worker because I'd always just had this thing about defending the vulnerable, supporting the vulnerable, making sure that they're treated equally and fairly. So that it doesn't matter what type of, whether it's a child or it's an elderly person or someone who has a disability, even now to animals, as far as I'm concerned, every single animal is vulnerable. I get really passionate about protecting the vulnerable. I remember when I was young, my mum took us to Center Parks, myself and my brother, with her friends and their children, and one of the children had severe learning difficulties, and so his speech is very slurred and he kind of walks with a bit of a limp and stuff, but he's really confident, so he will try and talk to loads of people. I think around then he must have been about four or so, and I remember us being in the park and these children were picking on him and he was just getting on with it because I'm sure it must be something he was used to. I was still a child then, but I was fuming. I was like, this is not right. And I remember making a really big fuss about it and telling my mom, and she was like, it's okay. And even his mom was like, it's okay. But I was like, no, it's not okay. It's not okay for someone to be treated like that. And so I've always had this in me to just protect people and make sure that everyone is treated fairly, regardless of who you are. And so, of course, I went into social work. My actual reason for going into social work was to do child protection. I have this thing again for child protection. And during our training, we had police officers coming from the Metropolitan Police. They were detectives and they worked in the child protection unit. So, you know, going after those who are involved in child trafficking, sexual exploitation and child abuse. And I remember thinking, I wanna do that. I wanna be with the police. I wanna be a detective into child protection. But if I wanted to do that, I had to leave social work and start again in policing. I was like, I haven't got time for any of that. So I carried on doing social work. And I share that story to say that it was 3 years of training to become a social worker. And from the get-go, even from the interview, they wanna make sure that you understand the code of ethics of social work. The code of ethics is the way that social workers are to carry out their jobs. And I'm sure whatever profession you're in, they will have a code of ethics as well, whether it's teachers, psychologists, whatever it is, there's a code of ethics that you must know, that you must adhere to. If you're going to be under investigation for something that you've done wrong, I'm sure they will sit down with those code of ethics to say, did you follow this, did you follow that, and did you follow X, Y, and Z? So there's code of ethics when you join a profession that you must know and you must uphold. Likewise, brothers and sisters, in the kingdom of God that we belong to, there are codes of ethics. There are ethics that we need to follow. There are ethics that God expects us to know and to uphold. And he expects us to know what they are. And one of the ways you can know the code of ethics is reading the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. I always say to people, if you want to know what kingdom living looks like, if you want to know what's expected of you as a citizen of the kingdom of God, go and read the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus goes through the ways that we're supposed to live, what the kingdom of God is about. And so our main scripture reading today comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And our main scripture reading is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. So if you could find it in your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, it's going to come on the screen because I want us to read it together. Okay. And if you're on the radio, if you're on YouTube, we haven't forgotten about you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. And it says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Amen. Some powerful words there. You know, the word of God has a lot to say about money and about the value that money should have in our lives. And actually, what the word of God has to say about money is the complete opposite to what the world has to say about money. You know, the world says that those who are rich are the ones who deserve the most respect. They're the most valuable people. The world bows down to those who are rich. It tends to be the super rich that get away with anything. They're just building their own kingdoms. They're doing their own things. They get away with all sorts. We think about all the scandals that happen with the super rich. And people knew, but they kept silent because you could pay them off. Because, of course, money equals power. Have you ever actually thought about how powerful the grip of making money is? People go to extreme lengths to become rich and wealthy. I don't know, some of you might remember a program that used to come on called Banged Up Abroad. Anyone remember that? Okay, a few of you. It's basically about people who get jailed abroad for doing some sort of crime. And I remember watching this episode. And this man, he went to Ibiza, went to party, have a good time. And he met this gentleman who was like, "Well, do you want to make a lot of money?" He was like, "What is it?" It was like 50K or something like that. And he was like, okay, what is it for? He was like, "Just to bring some drugs back to England." So he thought about it for a while. And he thought, you know what, why not? Let me give it a go. So he stacked up himself with the drugs and flew off to England. Everything was fine, didn't get caught. So then he decided he was going to go back to Ibiza and stay there for a few months, started partying, buying drugs and all sorts of stuff. He was out of money again. So he went to go find the man and said, "I'm up for doing it again, but I want a bit more this time." So the guy was like, "Okay, we'll give you more drugs, we'll give you more money, off you go." Strapped it all up, got to England, fine, nothing happened. Went back to Ibiza, stayed there for a couple of months, partying, drinking, money's gone. He goes back to the guy and says, "Look, this is the last time I'm going to do it. I want a bit more this time." So the guy's like, "Okay, off you go." Straps up the drugs, gets past the control in Ibiza, gets to England, and he's stopped there. And he's jailed, basically. But people are willing to take so many risks just for money. Just for money. And some of us, unfortunately, we've experienced in our own lives what the greed of money does. Sometimes someone in our family passes away and an inheritance is left. And all of a sudden, these families that were close unit, best of friends, boom, there's this big argument. "I'm supposed to get this portion, you're not supposed to have that." And they're divisions that go a long way down the family line because of the greed of money. People will lie for money, murder, will steal, marry someone they don't love for money. There's so many things, evil things that people will do for money. I've had friends who identify themselves as believers, and I reached out to them years later, and they're, "Who's Jesus? I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z over here. I can't, no, 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 no. I can't do that anymore." remember meeting this guy, he was on fire for God, on fire, on fire for God. 2 years later, I was like, what's happening? He's like, oh yeah, well, I just applied to try and go on Love Island. I was like, what are you doing? What are you actually doing with your life? What do you mean? Anyway, that's a sermon for another time, but yeah. Some people just spend their time just chasing after money. And some people die rich, still chasing after more money. You know, a survey showed that most people wake up with money and work on their mind. And if you think about it, actually, probably one of the main reasons we get up in the morning is to go to work, because you need to make money. And even hearing that myself, it convicted me, because I was like, shouldn't we be waking up to glorify God, not waking up to make money? Of course, we have jobs and we need to work, but the first motivation should be, I'm going to wake up today to glorify God, to do what he's called me to do. But many other times we wake up with, I need to get ready, I need to get to work, because I need to get money. But to be honest, it's not surprising that we wake up with money on our minds, or going to work on our minds, because on our lovely mobile phones, when we open them up, we're bombarded with adverts about making money. It's either making money or buying something. But of course, to buy something, you need more money. So it's this constant cycle. On YouTube, when you go to play any sort of video, the first ad that comes up is this Audible advert. I'm sure some of you would have heard of it before. Oh, you know, if you want to make this X amount of money a month, you know, download the app Audible. All we do is record ourselves and we get a check coming in at the end of the month. Oh, there's this other advert. It comes on quite a few times. I haven't seen it in a while, though. This Asian man, he's like walking in this penthouse and he's like, you know, I used to be one of those people that dreamed dreams but never thought it would come true. I used to be one of those people that lacked confidence. But now I'm making six figures. And, you know, you can do it too. If you want to know the secrets, it's always a secret, isn't it? If you want to know the secrets to making six figures, follow the link, sign up, and you can make six figures too. Like, what? Come on. But everywhere we turn, there's adverts about making money. Money, money, money. And I'm sure even in my news feeds as well, sometimes there's these pop-ups that say, oh, this woman in your area makes 150K per month. I'm like, if she made that, she wouldn't be in my area. Seriously, she wouldn't be living in my area. But you see these ads, and somewhere in your mind you think, oh, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's actually possible. And the ads are there. They're on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook, but I'm sure they're on Facebook too. Just these ads are making money. And if it's not adverts, then because we're so in social media, we get a glimpse of the lives that super rich people live. And we start to think, oh, that looks really good, you know. The life that they're living looks really great. And in our minds, we start thinking, how can I make a little bit more extra money? What can I do? And then, you know, we start thinking about maybe I'll start a business. Maybe there's some product that hasn't been made yet that I can do that and I can sell it for a lot of money. And we start getting into this, I need to make more money. I need more money. I know several people who have started business after business after business after business. Every day they're like, oh, I've got a new business idea. And I'm like, oh yeah, what is it now? Because they're so hooked on trying to make money. See, through our phones, we can become so addicted to building our own kingdoms, to making money and storing wealth for ourselves. But scripture says this, do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they're gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. And that's Proverbs 23, 4 to 5. Don't wear yourself out trying to get riches. They will, in the blink of an eye, they can be gone. Do any of you know what God calls a person who stores up wealth and goods for themselves? A fool. Yeah, he does. He calls you a fool. If you store up riches and wealth for yourself, God calls you a fool. I didn't say it, God said it, okay? We had the scripture read to us earlier, but I'll read it again, the parable. And he told them this parable, talking about Jesus. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus gain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. See, the issue isn't about being rich. It's not about being rich or wealthy. There are some of us among us here today who are rich, I'm sure, very, very rich. It's not about being rich. It's about what are you doing with your riches? What are you doing with your materials? Are you sitting on it for yourself? Because that is a big issue. When we have things, the expectation as kingdom people, as children of God, is to share it, to be generous, to give what you have to others. Verse 22 to 23 in our main scripture reading today, it says, the eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You see, Jewish people refer to healthy eyes as someone who is generous and an unhealthy eye to someone who's stingy. So basically, Jesus is saying, those who are generous are full of light, and those who are stingy, greedy, are gathering wealth and personal gain for themselves, are full of darkness. Now, we as believers in this tech-driven world, looking at our phones, we have to ask ourselves, is the things that we're looking at every day causing us to be more stingy, thinking about how we can gather things for ourselves, or is it causing us to be more generous? And I find it very hard to find anything on my phone that causes me to be a bit more generous, if I'm being honest with you. Again, when I'm thinking about the ads that I see, nothing is about, oh, you know, be generous and have give to others. It's more about what you can get for yourself. So Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven. And I was like, what does that mean? I've heard it before, but with every sermon that I preach, I go back over everything and I look at it again. I don't assume to know that I've got it right. I'll go back and look. So storing up our treasures in heaven. And there's a few scriptures where Jesus talks about what exactly that means. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, when Jesus is having that encounter with the rich man, and the rich man's like, how can I get to heaven? And Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. How do we store up treasures in heaven? By giving to others, by being generous, by sharing what God has blessed us with to others. That's how we store up treasures in heaven. The world will say to us, no one can tell you what you do with your money. It's your money. Keep it to yourself. You made your money. How can anyone tell you what to do with it? But God tells us what to do with our money. And he can tell us, and he does tell us. And he tells us the place and the value that money should have in our lives. And as far as God is concerned, with your surplus, that the stuff that you're just saving for yourself, if you need to give, I'm not saying give until you're broke and, you know, then you're out begging, but give what you can, able to give to somebody who needs help. That's Jesus' expectation of us as kingdom citizens. A reminder of what Jesus says to us. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So for those of us who are storing up treasures, who are getting rich and just keeping things in bags so no one else knows, if that's where you're storing your treasures, then your heart, your mind, your thinking, your goals, everything is based on this earthly life. But if you're thinking about giving, being generous, how can I bless somebody what God has blessed me with? Then your heart is in heaven. You're focusing on things that God finds pleasing, that God takes joy in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to ask somebody young, so somebody maybe 10, 11, or 12. Anyone here 10, 11, or 12? You're 9. Oh, come. We're gonna play a quick game, which links into what we're learning today. Okay. Oh. I left my pennies. Yeah, Louis, sorry, the pennies are on the windowsill. Could you bring them, please? Thank you. And can I get a mic? Sorry, media team. All right. What's your name?
Joseph.
Welcome, Joseph. Can everyone show some support for Joseph coming up here? Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Joseph. You're going to have to stand here, okay? Right by this line. Yep. I'm going to put this here. Face the ball. Awesome. I'm going to put this bowl here. Oh, you can't see. And this bowl here. All right, Joseph, what's going to happen? I'm going to give you 5 coins, okay, to start off with. If they want to get out the jar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There you go. All right, Joseph, the aim of the game is you have to toss your coin into the bowl. If you get it in the bowl, I'll give you 2 more extra, okay? And then once you do that, we're going to move on to the next bowl and then to the next bowl, okay? But you have to get it in the bowl in order to get some more, okay? Off you go. Yep. Keep going. Yep. Well done. For 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Okay, Joseph. Now you've got to try and get your coins into that brown ball. Yep. Well done. Oh. Well done. Oh. Yeah, I'll give you that. Okay, well done, Joseph. So, oh, you have one more? Okay, so you got 3 in, okay? So, 2, 4, 6. Okay, Joseph, now you got to try and get it into that bowl there. Close one. Okay, so you have 2 coins, and that's the end of the game. Well done. Yeah. Well, I have a few questions for you, Joseph. That's all right, leave it there, I'll clean it up, don't worry. I have a few questions for you, Joseph, come. Okay, was the game harder than you thought it would be?
Yeah.
Okay, what made it hard?
Because of smaller bowls.
Because of smaller bowls, okay. Do you think you would have had a better chance of winning loads of coins if you just had to get it in the first bowl at the front?
Yeah.
Okay. How did it feel that you had to get rid of your pennies in order to win some more?
I don't know.
Was you upset that you had to get rid of your coins in order to get some more?
No.
You wasn't? Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. I love children. You always plan for a certain answer and you don't get it, but it's okay. The moral of the game is, okay, is that sometimes that's what it's like. God gives us gifts and abilities and skills and finances, and he asks us to give. But in order to give, you've got to let go of it. And when you let go, you store up treasures for yourself in heaven. So even though you're giving some out and your money is going, God is like, it's okay, you're storing up treasures in heaven, you're doing something good. So yes, we're throwing and we're letting go of some stuff, but it's all good. It's all good. So I'm going to leave with a few questions for you to think about. When was the last time you pulled out your phone to donate some money to charity? Just out of the blue. When was the last time you went onto online banking just to bless somebody with some money? Not to check what your balance is, not to transfer money to the savers account or transfer money to the spending account because you're in Tesco's and there's more than what you expected to pay and you've got to do this transfer. But when was the last time you went onto online banking just to give money to someone who needs help? When was the last time, for those of you who do budgeting, you have, you know, your budgets for clothes, you have your budgets for cleaning, budgets for going out. How many of you have a budget for giving? And not that, oh, this budget here is for giving, and, you know, if I don't give to anybody, then I'll take that and put it in my savings. No. How many of you have a budget for giving, and if you haven't given it to somebody, you will find someone to give it to, because that's what you budget it for. And this is the kind of way God wants us to think. I have stuff to give to people. Let me give it. As kingdom people, we need to start thinking that way. God has blessed me with so much, and I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And it hasn't always got to be finances. We all have different financial circumstances, but we all have something to give. And it might cause us a loss in some way or another, but we're storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.